You're listening to 2A Radio with Bill Carnes. A touch to
yeah, isn't that like a sharp pointy stick to the eye first thing in the morning? Guys, I'm your host, Bill Carnes. You're tuned in live right here to 2A Radio. Welcome to the show, everybody. Little bit of information about 2A Radio and your host, yours truly, Bill Carnes. I have been in the shooting sports since 1989, which is relatively short if you actually think about it, 21 years at this point. I got my first rifle when I was 19 years old. I was 18 years old when I got my first rifle. I still own it today, Ruger 10/22. I got my first handgun at 19 years old, and there was really no turning back after that. I took my first formal firearms training course for my 25th birthday, and I went to gun sight in Paulden, Arizona, and I finished top of my class in the handgun 250. I was the only one to shoot a perfect score on test day. It's 5.5 days. It's Monday through Friday, full days, and then a half day Saturday. I don't know if that's still the format. That's the only class I've actually taken at gunsight. However, I have been on the property other than that. And what a fantastic experience that was. From there, I went on to be a police officer for Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department. I've been an NRA certified instructor for a long time, which doesn't really say much. The NRA certification is more of a piece of paper, not really an ability. I moved on to be the lead rangemaster at Front Sight, where I became one of only two guys that have ever worked there as a recognized and qualified five weapons defensive rangemaster. That's where I am qualified to rangemaster the weapon systems, handgun, shotgun, rifle, submachine gun, and precision long range sniper, counter sniper type rifle from basic into and through the advanced level. So there's a little bit of qualifications and information on me. You can always find out more at BillCarnes.com, C-A-R-N-S. There is no E in the last name. So BillCarnes.com, you can find more information on me. When it comes to the show, you can always go to 2A Radio. 2A stands for Second Amendment. The official name of the show is the Second Amendment Radio Show. We just shortened that down to 2A Radio. So you can go to 2aradio.com. Plenty of stuff on there, including all of the archives. At the end of each day, the show goes up within about 30 minutes or so, including show descriptions. Every single show since its inception back of March of 2009 is up. Now, what do we discuss here on 2A Radio? Well, the foundation is all Second Amendment related. However, that's not the only thing we speak of. We also speak about First Amendment rights and basically any rights that are out there. And usually we bring them up when some government jackass or some government entity decides to want to consider or just simply does subvert some sort of right from you, me, or anybody else out there. We talk about police and more specifically police abuses from having worked in the policing industry as a patrol officer for Las Vegas Metro. I have firsthand experience in good cops and bad cops and what they do. I speak quite often about guns, gear, tactics, techniques. If you have any questions about guns, gears, tactics, techniques, rights, anything like that, you can always email me. And my email address is bill@2aradio.com. So feel free to send me any sort of comments, questions, suggestions, whatever you like. Oftentimes, say hunting season is coming for big game. You want to sight in your rifle, get some information going on about guns, gear, bullet selection, how to sight in, where to sight in, cleaning procedures, whatever that might be. Send those things in to me, bill@2aradio.com, and I will either answer you directly, or if it's good enough and I feel that the audience would probably benefit in hearing the answer, I'll hold off and I will add it right here onto the radio show. So there's a little bit of format and formula for you when it comes to 2A Radio, yours truly as the host, and really what to expect for this next hour. Stay tuned, guys. There is plenty more to come, and you are tuned in live right here with me, Bill Carnes, hosting 2A Radio.
It's not an option. It's a right. Cocked, locked, and ready to rock the world of the anti-gunners. You're listening to the guy who had to register his mouth as a full auto weapon. Bill Carnes and Two-Way Radio. The fight for your rights isn't for pansies. So buckle up for the ride and knuckle down with Bill Carnes and 2A Radio.
All right. All right, everybody, right here, you're listening to Bill Carnes at 2A Radio Live. We're going to get right to it. There is an Ohio gun bill that would, as they say, expand owners' rights. And I have, I really take issue with even the sentiment of expanding a right. What that means is if the government believes that they can expand a right, then that means that they control rights. That's not the case, folks. You have to understand that rights are granted to us by our Creator when we're born. We have them. The government doesn't control these rights. Unless, of course, you're a 14th Amendment citizen rather than an original class citizen, the government controls all of it. Well, evidently the state of Ohio believes in that as well. On the heels of Senate Bill 239, a proposal which would allow concealed carry permit holders to take a loaded gun into a restaurant that serves alcohol, another piece of legislation is in the works in the Ohio House, which would give more rights, as they say, to employees who are gun owners. Okay. Well, let's read into this. That's House Bill 571, which was introduced by Joe Ucker of the 66th District Representative in Ohio, and is co-sponsored by 30 other representatives, which would amend one of the Ohio Revised Code sections. The law would not allow private employers to prohibit a concealed carry permit holder from storing the employee's handgun in a locked motor vehicle on the employer's premises. Any current employer policy prohibiting such would have to be amended. Now, I am all for the state coming forth and saying, you as employers cannot disallow all of your employees to have firearms on the company premises. You can disallow them from bringing it into work while they're actually working. However, you now are going to assume the liability for their safety if you take it out of their hands. However, you cannot mandate that they can't have it in a vehicle because that would leave them unarmed and susceptible to any sort of death or serious bodily injury, being the victim of a crime, in transit between work and home or wherever they go between home and work if they have any additional stops, like, say, the grocery store, getting gas late at night, whatever it might be, depending on their schedule. So I'm all for these sorts of laws, but to consider calling it expanding of rights? Now, how do employers get away with this? Employers have property rights, do they not? Now, most employers are corporations, which would be essentially a fictitious entity, as it would be considered legally, a fictitious entity. An individual fills out a whole bunch of paperwork and names a bunch of things, pays some fees here and there, and all of a sudden, bam, an entity is there. That entity now controls a piece of property. So rights are guaranteed to individuals. So, by that nature, the fictitious entity of a corporation, does it actually have rights, or does it have power and authorities? And someone with rights actually exercises the corporation's powers and authorities. So does a corporation, a fictitious entity that owns a physical piece of property, do they have the ability to alienate your inalienable rights? That's a big question. My answer to that is absolutely not. And I'll give you an example. If you have a business which is public access, it is considered a, what is the term I am looking for here? It is considered a public domain of sorts. That's not actually the term. It's rattling around in the brain somewhere. It is open to the general public. Let's take, for instance, Walmart. Walmart, nationwide, is generally a pro-gun company. The Walmart that is in my town of Pahrump, Nevada, in the county of Nye, we're walking around packing exposed all the time in Walmart. Same thing with Home Depot. No problems at all. Matter of fact, the only places in town that seem to have any sort of a problem with it are one or two of the casinos that are in the area. They don't want you to carry a gun, but it is a public domain for the most part. If your doors are open to the public, there's no discrimination whatsoever. Everybody's allowed in and out. You cannot selectively tell people, look, you can't exercise a right in here, you can't exercise a right in here. It'd be the same thing if you say, you can't come in here and talk about Ron Paul because we don't like the guy. Or you can't come in here and talk about Barack Obama because we don't like the guy. They can't subvert your First Amendment rights. They can't tell you, look, you can't wear the Star of David, or you can't wear your crucifix, or you can't wear your turban, whatever it is. They can't do that either. But they want to tell you you can't bring a gun in there for self-protection. It's all the same right. And we're talking about rights being expressed with physical items. By wearing the Star of David, wearing a crucifix, wearing a turban, all physical items that can be removed and stored in a vehicle. Second Amendment rights, removing a gun and storing it in a vehicle. It's all the same. The only way they can truly restrict that is if it is an organization that is membership-based and has some discriminatory factors in the membership. By that, I want to exclude places like Costco or Sam's Club or the Food Mart, something like that, where you can pay a fee to get lower prices on your items which you shop for. However, the only decision in becoming a member is that you pay them money. No. Talking about maybe a country club of some sort that has 12 open memberships and 600 people vying for that membership. That's now not a public domain. So if you walk into a store and they say you can't have a gun or the employees cannot bring guns, that's a violation of your rights. And you can effectively sue. So these laws are good. However, it's not really an expanding of anybody's rights. What it is it's a restoring of rights. It's not expanding rights. It's restoring rights that were allowed to be subverted by the employers. Now, Representative Ucker out of Ohio says, I was approached by some of my constituents who had been dismissed from their jobs for exercising their Second Amendment rights. That means they were fired for having a gun in their car. The question they had was, how can my employer dictate to me what I have in my car? Well, Ohio Senator Jimmy Stewart, yes, Jimmy Stewart, said he is in support of the measure. However, he would like to hear more discussion on the matter. Even though he's a Republican, he wants to hear more discussion. We're talking about rights. There's not much to discuss. He says, I would be inclined to support something similar. Okay, well, that's taking a middle of the road. There's a true Republican for you in this day and age, not actually taking a stand on something conservative, towing the party line, as it were, even at the state level. Wow. After all, you can't be a permit holder if you're not a law-abiding citizen, but you have to have to balance the rights of gun owners with the rights of the property owners. Hence why I prefaced my 5-minute statement on that. Balance the rights of gun owners with the rights of property owners. When the property owner is a fictitious entity, there are no rights. There are no rights, really. If you are an individual that owns a piece of property, then you have rights. If you own your own home and you don't want somebody to come in there with a gun, tell them to leave it outside. If you don't want them to come in wearing a Star of David, tell them to leave it outside. You don't want them coming in wearing a shirt that says Praise Jesus, have them leave it outside. You don't want them coming in there with a turban, that actually is a rule in my house, tell them to leave it outside. You can do that if you own your own home. It's not public access. It's not a public domain. You can do that. As a business owner, not so much. Now, Stewart, a co-sponsor of the concealed carry law when he was a representative in 2004, also supported Senate Bill 239, which passed the Senate in May. It's not expected to be voted on by the House until they reconvene after the November elections. Now, that's the one that says you can carry a gun into a bar or restaurant that serves alcohol. Now, to not be able to do that, in my opinion, is very, very silly. I live in Nevada. Very few restrictions when it comes to actually carrying concealed. You can carry into a place that serves alcohol. As a matter of fact, this state is quite unique in the fact that you can actually drink while carrying concealed, as long as you do not end up over 0.08 blood alcohol content. That's 8% of your blood is not 100 proof. Or, I'm sorry. Yeah. Is that right? 200 proof. 200 proof. As long as it's not pure alcohol. Which is the same for driving. 0.08%. Which is pretty well universal across the country for driving. It's the same for packing heat here in Nevada. But to actually be disbarred from even entering into a place, let's say you go into a restaurant, you don't have to order a glass of wine with your meal. You can just be in a place that serves wine with a meal. And they're telling you in Ohio, at this point in time, you can't pack heat while going there. Those are the restaurants that are not going to get your business. Interesting. Well, there are certainly some Democrats who don't like the idea. However, that's just because Democrats, for the most part, don't really care about your rights in general. Specifically, the Second Amendment tends to gripe most of those nerves. Stay tuned, folks. There's plenty more to come. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, and you're tuned in live right here to 2A Radio. RoninTactical.com has certified concealed carry training specialists that travel to you and your group of self-protection advocates. Organize a group of friends, family, or co-workers who take their responsibility of self-protection seriously, and RoninTactical.com will send out a certified training specialist who will provide a course of instruction that will get you and your group certified to carry concealed in over 30 states while providing you, the organizer, a commission for organizing the event. Do you travel for work, family, or vacation and want to remain armed and safe when traveling? Contact RoninTactical.com for details on staying home and having one of our certified professionals travel to you to provide the training and credentials for you and your group to safely and legally carry concealed in over 30 states. Call 888-416-4809 or go online to RoninTactical.com.
Tell everyone in the room to pipe down. Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes is back.
And welcome back from the break, everyone. I have a guest in studio today. A guest, he's been a good friend of mine for, what, probably 5 or 6 years now? Somewhere around there, I'm guessing.
At least six.
Justin Campbell. Justin is in here representing RoninTactical.com. And Ronin Tactical is a new company that has been put together by several, actually organized by several people. One really is kind of the head. And we're talking about some pretty high-end and very well-certified firearms instructors who are bringing concealed weapons training and concealed weapon permits from around the country to you, wherever you happen to live. Am I right?
That's absolutely correct.
Tell us just a little bit about... I know that the whole thing has to do with the movement of people being able to get guns and being able to pack and travel and have what's called reciprocity or even recognition of a concealed weapons permit from one state to the next. Tell us a little bit about how Ronin Tactical works out, Justin.
All right. The key thing about Ronin Tactical is we bring the class to you. So you don't have to worry about traveling somewhere to take your class. The certified instructors will come to you and deliver the class at your location. If there needs to be some shooting for the certain states' requirements, we just need to make sure we have a range set up.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Now, and I understand that, undoubtedly, the two very best states to get concealed weapons permits from, whether you live there or not, would be Utah and Florida, because so many other states recognize Utah and Florida, with like 30, 32 states, something like that?
It's about 32 right now.
Yeah. So if you have a Utah concealed weapons permit, you might be able to carry in the state that you're in. But even if you don't, if you leave and travel around, say you travel for business, family, pleasure, whatever it might be, if you travel, say you live in Michigan, and you want to travel down to Arizona, Nevada, Utah area, Colorado, maybe around there, it's very likely that those states will recognize either Utah or Florida or both. So you can pack having an out-of-state permit, even if you don't live in Utah or Florida.
That's correct.
Good. Well, that rocks. That's, you know, and I have a Utah permit. It wasn't so much for that. When I got my Utah permit, that was actually the year I was contracting for Department of Defense in Utah, and I got my Utah permit then, and it just worked out that after that, it really started to flourish, and if you've got a Utah permit, you can carry in, like, 30-plus states.
It's an outstanding permit. And the nice thing about Utah and Florida, we don't have to have a shooting range available. It's a safe gun handling requirement. And so we'll go over the safe gun handling in the classroom. We don't need to actually go out and fire rounds.
Really? Okay, so you don't actually have to have a range to call Ronin Tactical and bring you guys out.
Right, you can just call us out at a location where we can host a class for a classroom.
Okay, so you need some sort of a classroom. You got to have a host, and then they put together what people will bring in, friends, family, coworkers, whatever it is, and have X number of people that want to take this class, something that would probably make it, I'd imagine, good enough, financially good enough for everybody involved so you guys can come out and actually cover your costs and do your class and such as that.
Absolutely. We even pay a commission for people that set up classes for us.
Really?
Yes. So if you wanted to host a class and you put together 15 or 20 people, we'll pay you a commission.
Me as the organizer.
Absolutely.
Really?
Yes, sir.
All right. Cool. Now, I would imagine if you're paying commission, then, like, say I'm the one who's organizing, and I get 25, 30 people that I know together. And let's say I live in Kansas. We want to get a Utah and Florida CCWs, right? So you guys will come out and give that class to 25, 30 people I set up, whatever, 15, 20, whatever it is. And I get a percentage for everybody that comes in, whatever the rate is. Do you have a set rate, or is it really based on your costs of actually going out there and running these courses?
It's going to be based off of travel. If we're going to have to travel, say, to Kansas.
Okay.
For airfare and hotel as well.
Okay. So if it's a more expensive place to travel to and stay, the price goes up a little. If it's a place a little bit less, then they say. So you guys are really out there marketing based on what your actual costs of doing business is.
Yes.
That's good. Well, you can't get any better than that.
No. And if you live in a state and we don't have a certification to give you a CCW in that state, we'll research and become licensed if possible. So that way we can actually offer that state's CCW as well.
Okay, so let's go back to Kansas again. So you might look to see if you could be a Kansas CCW instructor as well as bringing Utah and Florida. So somebody could carry in Kansas plus another 30-plus states. And they don't have to travel to Utah or Florida or anywhere else, and you guys can come in and do all of that right then and there.
Absolutely.
Well, now that rocks.
Absolutely.
All right. So have you done some courses already?
Yes, we've had courses in Seattle, California, Arizona.
Good. All right. So you're already getting it done.
Yes.
Now, what if I want to shoot? Can we go out and do some shooting?
Absolutely.
If we get a range together?
Absolutely.
Good. All right. So is it just CCW-related stuff? I mean, are we going to be carrying from concealment or Is it up to the class, like whoever organizes it, what kind of shooting we can do, or how does that work?
We can adapt it to what the user needs. But we'll do some concealment work, some basic tactical survival-type shooting, what you might encounter in a CCW world.
Okay, so out on the street, actually packing concealed, and we can roll it down. That's RoninTactical.com. Is that correct? Ronin, R-O-N-I-N, Tactical.com.
That's correct.
Great. All right, man. I appreciate it. And you actually happen to be a certified handgun combat master, too, don't you?
Number 43.
Number 43, Chuck Taylor. All right, so we don't have to worry about slouches coming out there and just a bunch of wannabe CCW geeks. We actually have some real-life pros.
Real-life pros, tactical experience.
Excellent. Justin, I appreciate it. You're also a veteran, aren't you?
I am.
Thank you for your service.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Guys, stay tuned. There's plenty more to come after the break. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, and you're tuned in live right here to 2A Radio.
You're listening to a guy who packs a gun to shoot the bad guys and packs a mic to shoot his mouth off. Bill Carnes and 2A Radio are back.
Well, there In history, there's really not been any account since the War of 1812 of a foreign invader invading onto American soil. Now, small exception during World War II, when the Japanese landed on two of the Aleutian Islands way up north, way out to the side of Alaska. And we had to go onto one of the islands and kick the snot out of them. Another one of the islands, they were already gone because the Japanese were not ready for the winter on an Aleutian Island out in the Bering Strait in Alaska. So that was one small exception. But at the time, Alaska wasn't a state. It was a territory. Bought for, what, $5 million, the entire state of Alaska? About one-third the size of the continental U.S. Bought for $5 million from the Russians. Wow. I bet they were really licking their wounds on that one. Anyhow, what a steal for us. When it comes down to it, what we have now is foreign invaders invading through our southern border with the northern border of Mexico that are coming into this country, and what are they doing? Well, they're smuggling people, and they're smuggling drugs, and they're also committing a bunch of crime, murders, things such as that on our soil. We've even had several instances of the Mexican army coming across the border, shooting at Border Patrol agents, and then going back. Now, what's that all about? Well, I would imagine it has to go with the corruption we spoke about yesterday. However, what we have is we have thousands of people coming across that border on a regular basis. Now, some want to come by honestly and have a better way of life. The rest of them are making a whole lot of money on that and forcing these people oftentimes to be drug mules when they come across. Fine, you pay us money and you're muling drugs for us if you want to get across. Otherwise, we're going to kill you when you get there because you're going with one of our guides, or we're going to kill your family back here. But one way or another, you owe us, and that's the way it's going down. So what we had recently was the Tea Party actually had a rally on the Arizona's southern border with Mexico in Hereford, Arizona, where the activists supporting Arizona's SB 1070 anti-illegal immigration law were rallying along basically a remote stretch of the Arizona-Mexico border, which is about 70 miles west of Nogales. Nogales is directly south of Tucson, in support of the law that a judge put mostly on hold back in July. The United Border Coalition, which is an event organized by United We Stand for Americans and the Tea Party Caucus, as well as more than probably about a dozen or more other groups in the area, held the rally near a stretch of the border made of 15-foot steel posts set closely together to prevent people from crossing the border. Demonstrators attached hundreds of U.S. flags with messages about curbing illegal immigration to the posts and chanted USA after a handful of spectators gathered on the Mexico side of the border. One of the messages posted on the border wall read, "Mr. President, secure this border for America." Now, several people speaking to the crowd of more than 400 demanded that our Congress, both houses, and President Obama devoted more resources to increasing border security in remote areas like the site of Sunday's, I'm sorry, that particular demonstration. That was about three Sundays ago, south of Tucson. Now, if you really want to secure the border with Mexico, it's very simple. With all of the Border Patrol people that we've got, and you split them into essentially four shifts to be able to work the week, there's right around 160 hours a week, so it's easy enough to make it through four shifts. You also activate the National Guard, and you get all the people who work for Border Patrol, who are already assigned to the southern border, and National Guard out there, and you can literally post one human being every 100 yards. One human being is a sentry, an armed sentry every 100 yards. Now, I have said this many times in the past that I have personally witnessed when I've been in Arizona. I'll go down to southern Arizona, 40, 50, 60 miles, 80 miles north of the border. You have Border Patrol driving around looking for illegals. doesn't work so good, guys. My analogy is, you know, the story about the boy who saw the leak coming through the dike and put his finger in there to stop the leak. That was the only way to stop it. At the source. He couldn't go downstream a few miles, collect up the water that was leaking, throw it back into the reservoir, then go back and collect more water and throw it back into the reservoir. That doesn't work. There's a problem at the source, at the dike. It needs to be repaired. Well, that's exactly the situation we have with the border with Mexico. One man for every 100 yards. One sentry for every 100 yards. That's pretty impressive. And that's with Border Patrol, National Guard. If you wanted to call more people down there and actually allow habeas corpus within about a half a mile of the border, suspend it within about a half a mile of the border, you could have one man for every 20 feet down there on the border securing it. And after a few months, while they're down there securing it, you've got contractors each building a segment of fence line to some specialized sort of construction, some specified construction format. And that might be a fence followed by a pit of alligators or razor wire or something of that nature, and then another fence with razor wire on top of both of those. And you have 100 different contractors building this, and if you have 100 contractors building it, every contractor would need to do about 29 miles. They all have their own sections to do. After several months, you start realizing, wow, we can't get into America. This is really difficult. The only points of entry are the legal points of entry. So sneaking across is no longer a viable option. Well, that's what would happen if the administration, the lawmakers, people in the White House, people in the administrative or regulatory branch, at Department of Justice, people at Department of Homeland Security, within the Border Patrol themselves, if they really wanted to secure our southern border with Mexico, that's exactly what would happen. They would actually secure it. So, short of that, we have someone calling in from Studio A on Line 1. Mark from Georgia, welcome to 2A Radio.
Ah, God bless you, sir. Regarding the 14th Amendment, obviously it's a fraud, and the problem is that the rank-and-file people, just as the rank-and-file people didn't understand, the South had a kind of a prenup in terms of signing into the Constitution. They said, look, we can leave if it doesn't work out, right? And that was the agreement. We had the right to leave. There was no rebellion. There was no insurrection. We just decided to exercise our right to leave. And the problem is that the people didn't understand that's all that happened because of the way that the newspaper empires misrepresented the issue. So the thing is that we're looking at a solution that involves legally recognizing that we need to go back to the organic Constitution, including the original 13th Amendment that was conveniently swept aside, that said you cannot have a foreign title of nobility like Esquire and be a member of a secret guild. The British Accreditation Registry, and they always call it the Bar Association, because if they told us what it stood for, then people would go, well, wait a minute, why does the British Crown have any say in our legal system?
You know, that's interesting. I never questioned what the Bar Association stood for, and that's the British Accreditation Registry.
So the thing is that with the title of Esquire is a violation of the original 13th Amendment, because basically they didn't want to have attorneys being involved in the lawmaking process, that basically litigation could become a very lucrative, a livelihood. It's like, you know, if people just do what's right, you don't need to sue, you know. And so the thing is that we are looking at reinstating the Republic. It's now the republicoftheunitedstates.org. And if you have a problem where you're having mortgage foreclosures or IRS harassment, shoot an email to justice@republicoftheunitedstates.org.
Mark, do me a favor. Mark, hold on. Do me a favor. Send me your information, because I'd like to have you on as an actual guest rather than just doing the plugs here and there. I'd like to have you on as an actual guest. So send me your information and email to bill@2aradio.com, and let's have you come on formally and do a couple of things, because what you're saying is very interesting to me. I'm digging it.
Well, that's fine. I mean, I do invite people. I encourage people to be skeptical. I want to see this thing bear fruit. But what it needs to bear fruit is that people need to be disabused. I don't like the term re-education because it's a term like Red Dawn, where we put you in the re-education.
Yeah, absolutely. It's got, that has a brainwashing connotation to it.
Right. And disabusement is simply what it means, coming to realize that a previously held belief is wrong. And I look at it this way, where if I understand correctly, there's going to be an opt-out announcement made sometime in the not-too-distant future that people can choose to leave this de facto government and go with a lawful government. And when that happens, what I see happening is the first people they're going to leave are the people that either have the means of production, the factories and the farms and the resources, and the people who have the will to be self-sufficient.
Now what you're talking about, Mark, hold on, Mark, hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, here. Have you ever read Ayn Rand's book, Atlas Shrugged?
Atlas Shrugged.
Have you read that book?
I have been meaning to.
Okay, you should, because essentially what you're doing is you're creating a Galt's Gulch. And you'll know that when you read the book, Galt's Gulch. As a matter of fact, if you like, I have an audio copy of that book I will send to you.
Ah, God bless you.
Yes.
That's Bill at 2A.
Bill at 2aradio.com, yes.
And I will, like I say, I encourage people to be skeptical because I want to see this thing bear fruit. And right now, certain things I'm taking on trust, and I know that there's been plot complications, but what it really comes down to is people need to wake up to the fact that the government has been presuming power only because people didn't know better. And when people wake up, basically, the way I look at it is the Satan has been in the business of deceiving mankind for at least 6,000-something years.
Yes.
And he knows what he's doing. Now, when we apply the God-given gift of reason, he only has as much power over us as we personally yield to him, individually and collectively. And when we use the God-given gift of reason to realize that if we stop buying into his lies, he no longer has power over us, so we retract that power and say the power is given to God to us, and you only have power because you deceived us, and we need mercy and grace to say, you know, when we're wrong, we need to own up to it. And where I was wrong is I trusted people that were completely unworthy of my trust and respect.
Yeah, and that's always a lousy thing to have to experience, especially when you experience it time and again.
Yes, and that's the thing is that as people awaken, the natural normal response is to be angry, and the thing I try to get across to people is violence that is morally constrained is acceptable. That if somebody can commit an act of violence, is getting ready to commit an act of violence against you, you have every right to defend yourself, even if this idiot happens to have a bright, shiny badge and he thinks he has authority. He doesn't. Now, I'm not saying use violence like the song I Shot the Sheriff because he was coming at me outside of his lawful authority. But, you know, we're trying to bring about a peaceful revolution, just like JFK said, a revolution is coming, and it'll be a peaceful one if we are wise. And that's what we want. We want to extend them forgiveness.
You don't seem to understand. JFK's revolution happened. We see it now with Obama in office. JFK's revolution had to do with, re-education in its pure form of brainwashing at the school level for 2 to 3 generations before they could get their socialist agenda back on track and actually have it as part of a new government, which is exactly what happened when Obama took office. JFK was right. What JFK said, he accomplished. What we're looking to do is reverse it.
I was under the impression that JFK was murdered because he was opposed to the plutocracy. And
I got to tell you, my thought is follow the money, and I really believe that it had something to do with JFK wanted to do away with the Federal Reserve, go back to printing United States notes. I have seen some actual United States notes. They were in circulation for a while. I've seen a couple of different ones that were $5 notations. I believe follow the money. I think it probably had something to do with the Federal Reserve. Who knows? I doubt the Cubans or the Russians or the mob had anything to do with it.
Yeah, well, obviously, the Federal Reserve, if it were the only fiat bank, would be very limited in its ability to do damage because basically they'd print up money, it'd become worthless. It's the fact that the American branch of this plutocratic system, which is what it really is the Federal Reserve System. And there's a Federal Reserve Bank throughout the world, and I've heard a report, and I'd like to get this authenticated, is that there were seven nations that did not have a Rothschild-controlled private central bank. It's now down to five: Iran, Syria, North Korea, Cuba, and Libya.
You got about
now,
10
so
seconds to finish up.
They say at face value, but Iraq and Afghanistan, according to this report, were on that list. Guess what happened when we went in and took over and carried out regime change? They are now off that list. They got scratched off the list. Now, I grant you, again, that needs to be authenticated because there's what I hear and there's what I believe, and I haven't been able to authenticate that that's the truth.
Mark, thanks a bunch for the information. We're headed into the break.
We'll be in touch, okay?
All right, I appreciate the call. Everybody, stay tuned. There is plenty more to come. You can tell we don't talk just about Second Amendment stuff on 2A Radio. We've got another caller from Texas, I believe, in the next segment. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. If you live in a state which allows Class 3 NFA firearms and accessories, and you either have an interest in or already own Class 3 NFA items, the process for an individual to own these items includes photographs, fingerprints, obtaining a letter of permission from your police chief or sheriff, and a full personal background check which is spread across the whole federal system. Until now. Forming an NFA trust eliminates the requirements of letters of permission and all personal data and background checks in purchasing and possessing NFA firearms and accessories. NFA trusts offer a level of anonymity as well as flexibility in the purchasing, possessing, and storage of your Class 3 NFA firearms and accessories. To learn more about forming a secure and flexible NFA trust at a fraction of the cost from attorneys, visit www.billcarnes.com and click on the NFA tab. That's BILLCARNS.com and click on the NFA tab.
As long as politicians attack our rights, Bill will be fighting for them. 2A Radio with Bill Carnes is back.
Back up, I'll take you on. Headstrong to take on anyone. I know that you are wrong if this is not where you belong.
Welcome back, guys. We have Marcus in Georgia calling in on line 3. Marcus, welcome to 2A Radio.
Hey, Brother Bill. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. What's on your mind?
Well, I got one question for you. Is what's going on with our boys and girls overseas, and some of them are coming back and becoming law enforcement, they can't get over the fact over there they were allowed to be cowboys, or is it they're being trained in these schools that we have for law enforcement, not to be peace officers anymore, but be law enforcement?
Well, actually, Marcus, that's something that's been going on for decades. And you're right, we do have a lot of people that are coming out of the military and joining the police department. However, that doesn't seem to be really changing anything. It's been a problem for a very long time. And what it is you have cops that run police academies for other cops and really teach them how to get into the fold of sorts. It has the appearance of being, you know, above board. And as far as the cops who are doing the training, they think it's above board because they're training the people, the cadets in the academy, to be a higher standard than the cops that are on the street. But when you get on, it's really not as high as they might think. And then when you get on the street, you just envelop into the fold to mix in with everybody else. It's a real problem. It's a societal problem within the police society.
Well, one of the questions I have is, do some of these people not realize that sometimes they might run across a crazy individual that might take some kind of umbrage to what they're doing, and, you know, they might go after this law enforcement fellow's family or something?
Well,
you understand what I'm saying? I mean, there's crazy people out here.
I understand what you're saying, and there have been some cases where that has happened, but The cops don't think like that. They think, you know, we're one big gang, and our gang is bigger, badder, better, more well-equipped, better trained, and more guns than your gang. So that's just the way it goes down, and pretty much that's the way it's looked at. Marcus, thanks for the call, man. I got to finish up the show. I appreciate the call. All right, guys, I just have to remind you that the Eric Scott Corners inquest hearing begins in just about 5 minutes here. I would like you to tune into that. If you get a chance, put it on your computer, stream it live at fox5vegas.com. F-O-X, the number 5, Vegas, V-E-G-A-S, .com. That is the local Fox affiliate in Las Vegas. They're going to be streaming the entire Corners inquest live via the internet. I will be streaming that as much as I can. I'm going to see if I can get it on my BlackBerry and go from there. So, anyhow, watch this, because I am in the process of trying to get this coroner's inquest turned into where everything goes to a grand jury. I'd like to close by saying, to those of you within our government, we will be watching you in Congress, the executive, and judicial branches all very closely as we organize to save our freedom, liberty, and country. We will not become the subjects of governmental rule.
Thanks for tuning in. Bill will be back tomorrow. Now go side in and shoot straight. The Two-Way Radio Show with Bill Carnes. Learn more about Bill at BillCarnes.com. Send your comments to Bill at 2WayRadio.com.